I'd like to continue preaching in Luke chapter 11. If you'd find your place in the Bible in Luke chapter number 11, we're going to look at verse number 29. And I want to preach about being without excuse. Without excuse for the gospel of Jesus Christ and without excuse about the message of Christ. As you find your place in Luke chapter 11, I did hear this story about this pastor. He was wore out. It had been a busy couple of days and he went slipped home for just a little while. And as his home, he just wore out. He thought he'd just take a little nap or something. But through the window, he saw one of the ladies that there in the congregation. And one thing about her, she was very, very talkative. If you ever got caught by her, she just kept you for a long time. So he ran upstairs. He told his wife, he says, I'm going to go upstairs and wait. You just get rid of her. I don't have time to talk to her today. So he stayed up there, tried to do a little work and got some things taken care of, wait for about an hour, and they tiptoed to the landing of the stair and listened, didn't hear anything. So then he hollered down, he said, well, honey, did you get rid of that old windbag? And he walked on down the next little landing, and about that time he saw that she wasn't gone. There she was sitting with his wife. Knowing how loud he hollered that, he knew that he didn't escape her hearing what he said about her. But thank God for wives. My wife, I tell her this, thank God for godly pastors' wives. She's on her feet and she said, yes, dear, she left a long time ago, but Mrs. Jones is here now and I'm sure that you want to talk to her. So thank the Lord for good wives. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 29, the Bible says, and when the people were gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet, or Jonah. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So just for some commentary, the queen in verse number 31, speaking of the queen of Sheba from back in 1 Kings, talking about that lady that came to see the kingdom and all that God had raised up through Solomon, and she could not believe what was there. And Jesus uses these couple of stories that are true from the Old Testament about Jonah and Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, and teaching that the skeptics that were there, that were seeking a sign, would be without excuse. So we see these people wanting a sign. It's amazing how up to date the Bible is, because it brings us to today and it equips us for the life that we live and the age in which we live, because people still say that they want a sign. Well, if only I knew that that was true, then I would believe it. Would you just give me a sign? Would you show this? Would you show that? Over in Mark chapter 8, verse number 1, they asked Jesus about a sign. In Matthew chapter 12, the parallel passage of this one, they were talking about the sign. And Jesus says, you've had signs, and I want to preach to you for just a little while. First of all, in verse number 29, we see that skeptics want that sign. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And so Jesus was telling this group of people that there are some people here that they are skeptics and evil. They want something more than what they've got. I think it would be like this. I would believe if you could just prove it. I think about this. People say that now. I would believe it if you would just prove it. And I think about this very thing. Amy always gets nervous when I open these windows because she said, well, one of these days they won't close, but they do. And I think about this sign. It's not raining anymore. No, it is again. So stay in for church for a little while. Nobody to leave yet. But I think about opening the window and amazing things happen. There's trees all around this area that are producing oxygen. And God so orchestrated this world that we've got this relationship that we happen to breathe out carbon dioxide. Isn't that a lucky accident? And God so worked it all out that this ecosystem that we live in, that He's put us here and uses what we put off to feed the trees that put off oxygen for us. And that's not the only thing. There's so many things in nature that you look at, and if they were just a bit different than what they currently are, then it would be a disaster. You think about the distance we are from the sun. You think about the way that our world rotates and how we have all of these things that is so lucky, aren't we? We're not lucky. It's a designer that God has so orchestrated this in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and the people of that day and Jesus were saying, we want a sign, we want you to show us. And he said, we saw Jonah, and he was in Matthew, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, there was a sign there, yet people still didn't believe it. And then he said, and those people are going to rise up and say, we believed it with less information than you have, you should believe it as well. And so the skeptics always wanted this sign. Solomon's, when queen came to hurt him, rather, was a sign, but there was a much greater one than Solomon. Skeptics always want a sign. I think about the age in which we currently live in, with all the advancements and all of the technology that's here and right at our fingertips. You say, wow, isn't this amazing? Yes, but what about people 100 years ago or 200 years ago? How is it that it all kind of exploded? Why did it take so long? If people have been around for all of these millions of years, why did it take so long? Well, I can tell you the Bible prophesied some of that, that knowledge would be made to increase and people would run to and fro in the earth, and they're already doing all of that. I was at Amish country, and there's a little old standalone. It was a hit and miss engine. If you've ever been around those old fairs and different things, it's about 1.5 horsepower little thing. It would hit, pop, pop. And then this big wheel would turn it because it's weighted and it would run. It was running an ice cream maker over here. And then it sounded like it was died, the engine did, but then pop, it hit fire again. And it was even back in the early 1900s, a lot of technology was there. And they designed this thing that it would just hit and miss. That's what they're called, hit and miss. It sounds like they're dying, but they aren't. It fires again. And then it ran all kinds of things. This particular one I saw, as I said, was running ice cream maker, but they'd run all kinds of equipment. And you think about that, and then you fast forward just a few short 100 years, 80 years, and the car that you drove in likely has 80 electronic control units, or what we call little computers. It controls the braking system and the firing system and the fuel system. And an average SUV has about 80 or more little computers on it. And you go from those old crude motors to now this sophisticated thing. And you say, wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, I tell you what that amazing fact tells me is that somebody is pretty smart and designed the vehicle that you drove in on. Well, if I'm going to say that about a vehicle and all it does is get me from place to place, how could I not in a greater way say that somebody somewhere greater than me had to design you and me? I would hate to think that my brain was the highest level. You say, Pastor, your brain's pretty low. Well, maybe let's say your brain then. I'd hate to think your brain's the highest one either. Matter of fact, I'd hate to think all of our brain power together would equal the greatest. I'm saying this morning that you wouldn't go to any of the pieces of equipment in this auditorium or anywhere on this campus of this church and look at any piece of equipment, be it a microphone or a sound system, and you wouldn't look at that and say, what an accidental blessing that is. This thing just kind of formed. The skeptics wanted a sign. You want proof that there's a God? And don't do it. If you're like me, you'd pass out. But go with a doctor sometime when he performs surgery. And look in there and see all of that amazing stuff that's going on inside the human body. How could we say that there isn't a God? But yet these skeptics said to Jesus, we want a sign to prove that you're who you say you are. But look in verse 31 and 32. Not only those skeptics want a sign, but Christ proclaims that they're going to be without excuse. Verse 31, the queen of the south, or the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in that judgment because, as I mentioned back in 1 Kings chapter 16, I think it was, that she came from some 1,200, 1,500 miles away just to see the kingdom that God had raised up under Solomon. And she's the one that said, the half hasn't been told. They only told me it was something, but it really something. And Jesus uses her as an illustration to show that those people then are going to look at us, them in that day, and say, you didn't believe? No, Jonah did the great job that God wanted him to do. A little delayed, yes, but he went and did the great job that God wanted him to do, and the people of Nineveh repented. And Jesus said, somebody greater than Jonah's here, and you're going to stay in your skepticism. So I'm saying this morning that the skeptics are without excuse. I think about the science that we're so blessed to have so many discoveries now. But science hasn't always been caught up with the scriptures. It's been times in our scientific community when people said, well, the earth is flat, and the earth is this, and the earth is that. But yet Isaiah 40, verse number 22, he says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. In Job chapter 26, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. And so long before some of scientists got caught up with them because they had to prove their things, God was still proclaiming them. So I'm saying this morning that the skeptics are without excuse. Perhaps you're here today. You say, Brother John, Pastor, I would believe in Christ alone if only there was proof. Can I tell you this, that even historians tell us that after the resurrection of Christ, that there were upwards of 500 people that had seen the resurrected Christ. And you say, well, maybe they just came together and they just told a lie. Have you ever tried to get 3 or 4 people together on a lie? Let alone 500, and not to mention those 500, but the disciples that walked with Jesus just some few weeks earlier were just this huddled mass of depression and this of fear. Yet now they're going to go and proclaim that message that the resurrected Christ is the one that can change everybody's life. And most of those disciples went to a martyr's death. Not quite all, but most went to a martyr's death. You say, well, there's martyrs today for religions, and you claim that they're false. Let me tell you the difference on those. The people who are dying for their faith now, and they're even killing other people for that. This is a belief that they have been worked up to into a frenzy over many generations and hundreds of years, and they've had it dictated to them how they could serve their God. But that's not what happened with the disciples. The disciples, within their lifetime, claimed they saw the resurrected Christ. And because of what they said they experienced and they observed, they went to martyr's death based on that lie that people said they were telling. You don't go to your death, cruel and a torturous death, as it were, for a lie. And so we see that in this day, when Jesus was talking to these people, he says they're without excuse. Skeptics are without excuse. We see so many advances and in scientific community and medical community, yet the Bible still comes true as we find out about it. We know mostly through history that George Washington was, they'd used a medical procedure on him called bloodletting. They took some of the blood out because they thought that would heal. George Washington wasn't the only one. King Charles II back in 1865, he died a few days later. Beethoven, Mozart, but Napoleon, many people had this procedure done. Soon after Washington had it done, he died of the infection that he had had. But Leviticus chapter 17 says all along that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so even the smallest of things, if they are small, the skeptics are without excuse because the Bible proves true. And the Bible proves true today in your life and in my life as well, because the Bible still says that every person is going to live somewhere. They'll exist somewhere forever. Their spiritual life, everlasting, and death. And the scripture is very, very clear, as Jesus was saying, that the symbol or the forerunner, if you will, of Jonah was going to be in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. So he was going to be in the belly of the earth and then rise again. And then he gives us what we're supposed to be doing with that knowledge. Look at verse number 33, if you would. The Bible says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth on a secret place, in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Probably this morning, there are some kids, some of your kids, grandkids, are down the hall up in the Ridge Kids, learning the little song, This Little Light of Mine. You learned it if you went to beginner Sunday school as well. I'm going to let it shine. The next verse says, hide it under a bushel. No. Well, this is where it comes from. And so the light of the gospel shines today. But there's a tremendous truth found in verse number 34. Look if you would. The light of the body, the Bible says, is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, or that just means clear, it's opened up, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. When thine eye is evil, so we see in verse number 34, when somebody's asking from an evil position, then they start asking what's asked in verse number 29. There is a reason why the people in verse number 29 were seeking a sign, and that was because their whole outlook or their paradigm was evil. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, Jesus said in verse number 29. Well, it's because in verse number 34, their body could have been full of darkness. But how we ought to live in verse number 36, would you look down there? If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Dr. Don Sisk, who preached here many different times, was a great friend of our church, but of all many churches, went to heaven last week. But he was always a happy warrior, always seeing what God would do. He was excited about missions and excited about missionaries, but he was always a happy warrior, just pleasant to be around. But not only that, I think about our pastor emeritus who went to heaven a year or so back, Preacher Lashley. He was always shining for Jesus Christ. Think about Miss Judy Whitson, she sat up here, the second, third pew, always happy and bubbly and shining for Jesus Christ. My mother-in-law, who went to heaven a few years ago, was always, when things would come up, she would say, well, let's see what God is doing. Let's see what Jesus is going to do through this situation. And you ever notice that some people just seem to turn that every time and say, well, let's see what God is doing. And that is somehow found in these verses, verse number 34. We ought to live in verse 36, but oftentimes people live in 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, the eye is single. Thy whole body shall be full of light. But when the eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. In Titus chapter 1, the Bible says a very interesting verse. Unto the pure, all things are pure. To those who are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So really, in a very practical way, you could say that the way we see things are what we're looking for. Do you ever notice that some people are just always negative, always seeing the bad, always seeing the evil side of things? Could be that that's what they're looking for. And so this morning, I say from a very practical standpoint, when you see the evilness try to creep into all of your life, and it does into all of our lives, the wickedness of the world and the tragedies and the bad stuff that's going on, what you and I need to be involved in is being pushing that back with the power of the Word of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so we are commanded to push back with the Word of God as the darkness comes into our lives and there's fear that overtakes us when difficulties come and problems come and accidents come and bad test results come. But the Bible is very clear about that perfect love casteth out fear, and we ought to submit ourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But what I find myself, even as a Christian, if we're not careful, because we live in this world that is dark, it permeates, comes on into us, and we must use the Word of God to push back and say, John, what in the world are you doing worrying about those things? You serve a God that's bigger than the thing that you're worrying about. Amen. The light of the gospel shines forth. You say, well, what about the gospel? Well, let me tell you this. To the Christian who is all overcome by the darkness of this world, who has let their light be obscured, you are not being the gospel witness. You're not being that light, that candle. You're not being that bright witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that this world needs for you to be. And so, verse number 33, we ought to take instruction from that so that we can live out verse number 36. You take instruction from verse number 33 because you don't put it in a secret place. You don't put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that all that they may come may see the light. And the way to accomplish that is in verse 36, if thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And then that bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So if you're here today, same pastor, if I would believe in Jesus Christ, I would believe in God, the Creator, I would believe in salvation, I would believe in the cross, if only I had proof. I don't know that I can give you any more proof than what you've already been given. Your lungs have been breathing in the oxygen that God provides through trees that are out there. Your body has been functioning all of this time. The proof of the resurrection, as far as the eyewitness account of people that saw Christ, saw him die, but then saw him walking around afterwards. You may explain that away and somehow say that it was a group hallucination, or you may say that it's a lie that they all come together on. Well, you can explain away however you want, but the evidence is there. And then you look at the many of the hospitals that we go through across this land that are found by some organization that their lives got so changed by Christ that they said, I want to make a place that we can help heal other people in the name of Jesus Christ. And then that's not to mention the rescue mission that you can go to and say that this is here to help our community because of what Christ has done in my life. I want to show it in your life. And so all of these proofs and all of these validations and all of these instances that could show the skeptic, my friend, if I can't tell you any more than what you probably already know, but you, if you're here today and you don't accept Christ, you do not believe those things, you will find yourself in the same spot that Jesus told these folks on that day. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. He said that the people from Nineveh would rise up in figuratively and condemn the people in that generation because they in Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jesus, and behold, a greater one than Jonah is here, who is Jesus Christ. If you're a skeptic today, you say, if you'd show me, if you'd prove it, I'd believe it. My friend, what else would God need to do? If he wrote your name in the sky and put a cross right after it, you would disbelieve it and say that it was an air show stunt that somebody did through skywriting plane. If you said the next person that comes into my office, if it's this person, that'll be a sign. Then somehow you would assume that somebody got word to that somebody and they came in just to trick you. If you said, if it rains on a certain day, then I'm going to believe. Then by the time it got to that day, and if it did rain, you'd say, well, we had a 50-50 chance anyways. My friend, if you're that skeptic today, then you unfortunately might remain that way. But there will be a day when all of the evidences, like the Queen of Sheba, like Jonah, like Nineveh, will all come to that place where it says that everybody should have bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and saying, show me proof, you are ignoring mountains of proof to make that statement. And then, if you're here today and you do know Christ, but you, like me, like every other Christian, you feel that darkness in verse 36 that comes in, or in verse number 33, you feel that darkness that comes in. My friend, I'm challenging you to push it back with the Word of God. When thine eye is evil, the whole body is also full of darkness. Verse 34, I finally get the right verse. If you find yourself battling with that, you find yourself, because that's coming in, I challenge you, my friend, push it back. But don't just say, I'm going to push it back in my own strength. It doesn't work that way. Fight it with Scripture. When Satan attacked Jesus and tempted him, what did he do? Fought it with Scripture. It is written. The darkness and the devil and the wickedness and all that start coming attacking you. Fight it with Scripture. It's written. My home is in heaven. It's written, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So if you're that skeptic today, I challenge you, my friend, to take the evidence and believe on Christ. And then if you're a Christian today, let's take instruction from verse 33 so that we can live out verse number 36. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for these moments we've had together. Lord, I believe that all of us are without excuse. To the unsaved person that's listening today, wanting another sign from heaven, I believe that's just an excuse of the devil. I believe the devil is providing those excuses for that person so that they will forever be lost eventually, but that right now they'll just procrastinate until it's eternally too late. Lord, I believe that every person should do some soul searching, objectively looking at this world and the intricacies of it, the human body and the specialties that we have. And I believe they'd have to objectively say, there's a creator, there's a designer. If that be so, that designer, God, in this book says that he's also the redeemer. Sent his son to die on the cross, be buried and rise again in victory. And belief in him is the only way to heaven. I pray if there's somebody that's not saved, dear Lord, that today, right now, they would realize their condition. Realize Jesus Christ is the Savior. And by faith, they would receive him and him alone for full forgiveness of their sin. My friend, if that's you, I challenge you right there where you sit, knowing that you need a Savior and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You need saved from your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth on him shall be saved, the Bible says. And then believer, if you are like me, that darkness creeps in on us. But we've got a job to do. This world needs my light. This world needs your light. If I'm letting the darkness creep in on me, then I'm not being the light that I need to be to my coworkers, my neighbors, my friends, my relatives. Let's push those darkness back by the word of God. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, if you're able to stand together with us. My invitation is very simple. If you're not sure that you've been a skeptic, you're not sure that you know Christ. Maybe you've not been convinced, but today, finally, the light has broke through. Would you come to Jesus Christ? Maybe you just now did. You just in your heart, there in your seat, you put your faith in Christ alone. Would you come and let us just give some Bible verses of assurance, let you know for sure that your faith is in Christ. Maybe you need some other help in some spiritual matter. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you'd like to surrender your life for whatever God has. Brother Daniel's down here at the front would love to take a Bible and counsel with you and help you. As they continue to play, you come if God so leads. Well, if you'll just look up this way for a minute. And Brother Caleb's a great blessing to us here, and he and Elaine and their family. I'm going to have him give testimony because we got a very special young lady that told me that she got saved last week. But I want to give a testimony about that, would you?
Yeah, so it's as a father, I'd say it's something that me and my wife have definitely prayed about. We have three children. Bridget's 10 now, and then we have Brielle and Bryn. And it's just something that weighs on you to know that your children, you know, don't know for sure where they're going to go when they die. And me and my wife both, came to know the Christ as young children, 5 years old. And this a week and a half ago, we're on the way home from church, and Bryn, she starts asking me questions, and she says, "I want to get saved." So you never want to kind of force them in that or lead them into that. So we just begin to talk and ask her questions, and I talked a little bit with her in the car, and I said, "Okay, let's wait till we get home." And we sat down with Elena and myself, and she explained to us what sin was. She explained to us how to be saved. But most importantly, she understood that she was a sinner and that she was separated from God and that she needed to repent of her sins and ask Christ as her Savior. So we're just overjoyed that as a five-year-old girl that she's now saved and on her way to heaven. Amen. And all three of our children have done that.
Oh, I just want Brother Caleb to give that testimony. It's always a thrill to a dad's heart. And so we're very, very happy of that. I want you to come by and congratulate her. And thank you again for being in church. I'm going to ask Brother Caleb, while you're here, you might as well dismiss us in prayer. I'll be back in the lobby. If I can do anything to help you or be a blessing to you, then please stop by. But thank you for being in church this week. Be praying for Brother Tyler Finner, that good pastor from Mountain City, that as he heals up now after that surgery, and just trust in the Lord that he'll raise him back up. And then be praying for the other request we mentioned, Brother Daniel Foran, this young man that's had this brain injury. So please keep him in prayer as well. So would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, what a joy it's been to be in your house today, Lord. I thank you for the message that Pastor brought, Lord. Pastor brought to us to show us truth from your word, Lord. And Lord, I'm so thankful that your word says that all things work together for good to them that love you and them that are called according to your purpose, Lord. As he mentioned these two prayer requests, Lord, that even these situations that may look like a bad situation, Lord, or how could any good come from these accidents, Lord? But I'm so thankful that you work even the bad things out for your good, Lord, and that all the glory be brought to you. I pray that you'd be with us this afternoon, Lord. Bring us back to your house tonight. In your name we do pray and ask it. Amen.